The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What would Jesus do? For some years now, that's a question that's been advocated as a way of keeping Christians focused on the sanctified life. When presented with temptations to sin or challenges to faith, Christians are supposed to stop for a moment and raise the question, what would Jesus do, before they act? Of course, the assumption behind the question is that Jesus is our great example, that when faced with temptations or with challenges in his life, he didn't yield to sin. He didn't shirk his obligations, but instead he carried the will of the Father out perfectly, doing what he was supposed to do, when, where, and how he was supposed to do it as well. Which, of course, is true. It's absolutely true. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what he prayed in the garden. So it was. As the scriptures tell us, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So, if you're going to choose a model, why not choose Jesus? Why not indeed? In fact, that is exactly what St. Paul is doing in this morning's reading, presenting Jesus as an example to follow. Each of us should please his neighbor, Paul writes, and then he follows up immediately, for even Christ did not please himself. And again, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. And Romans 15 is not the only place in which we find this in the New Testament. I've always been intrigued by the fact that one of the most important Christological passages in the entire New Testament, Philippians 2, is introduced as an example for us to follow. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, is how Paul introduces this part. And then he goes on to demonstrate that attitude by referring to the one who was in very nature God, who took upon himself also a true human nature, and then he humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. You should be like that. Jesus is our great example of sacrificing ourselves for the interests of others. Well, if this is the case, why is it then that in our circles, the confessional Lutherans, we have not all embraced the cult of the WWJD, the bracelets and all the rest, designed to raise the example of Jesus in our daily lives, to concentrate on him as the model of godly living? Why the reticence? Why the delay? Well, the answer, of course, is that something is missing. Since a model or an example does not give us the power to follow it. Just consider, for example, what Paul is proposing in this text. What is the behavior that our Lord is supposed to illustrate? Paul writes, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up." Now, of course, this is yet another variation on the ethic of love, which permeates the entire New Testament because it goes right back to the mouth of our Lord, quoting from the Old Testament, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now that's easy to say, but tough to do. In fact, I think that one of the hardest things that Christians are ever supposed to do is to live with other Christians. After all, don't all of us have failings? I mean, really serious failings. so that the closer we are to each other, the more obvious those faults and flaws become, so that what may have seemed originally as simply a kind of aberration turns out to be a fundamental characteristic. Now, of course, in this text, the apostle is probably not talking about sins per se. He's talking about weaknesses and strengths in understanding, especially in external matters. But the principle is the same. We are to bear with one another, we are to help one another, and we're not supposed to resent each other. But now, how does it usually go? Quite the opposite, and making the problem even worse is the fact that in each and every one of us, there's more than a little bit of Pharisee. And that means that we're quite willing to put up with our own faults and failings, but not to put up with the ignorance and the faults of others. I mean, we expect one another to put up with us. After all, my faults really aren't that bad. I mean, they just prove that I'm human, right? They just maybe make me a little more interesting or colorful. Ah, but your faults, now that's another matter. Oh, good manners may keep us from saying very much about the faults of others. That is, until we go home and tell our wives, because they're supposed to listen to us vent. But good manners don't keep us from resenting the faults of others. And speaking of our wives, those good manners never seem to apply very much at home, where we find it, oh, so much easier to articulate what we think is wrong with others in the household. So now let's ask the question, what good is an example, even the example of Jesus, if we don't follow it? Not much. Which is why we need more, much more than simply a good model. Not surprisingly, Martin Luther has some important insights into this question of whether we should use Jesus as an example. In a wonderful little piece called his Brief Instruction of What to Look For in the Gospels, Luther writes, "You should grasp Christ, his words, works, and sufferings in a twofold manner. First, as an example that is presented to you, which you should follow and imitate. However, this is the smallest part of the gospel, on the basis of which it cannot yet even be called a gospel, for on this level Christ is of no more help to you than some other saint. This mode does not make Christians, but only hypocrites." Well, what then is to be done? Luther goes on, "You must grasp Christ at a much higher level. Before you take Christ as an example, you accept and recognize him as a gift, as a present that God has given you, and that is your own. This means that when you see or hear of Christ doing or suffering something, you do not doubt that Christ himself, with his deeds and suffering, belongs to you. On this you may depend, as surely as if you had done it yourself. Indeed, as if you were Christ himself." Well, you can see then that the answer to our weakness in the light of our model is not to be found at all in ourselves, but in the model himself. In other words, Jesus is our example because he is, first of all, our Savior. The power of performance is in him. His death, his suffering, his life, his everlasting life and resurrection on our behalf. So every time we approach a passage like this one in Romans 15, we have to do so in the context of Romans 1 through 14, those passages in which Paul spells out the significance of what Jesus has already done in his life, suffering, and death, resurrection, has already done to rescue us from our sins, to spare us from our faults, to provide for us life in the midst of death. That's how, then, we learn to bear the weaknesses of others. So we accept them because Christ has first accepted us. We forgive because Christ has first forgiven us. We love because Christ has first loved us. So, what about it then? Can we ever raise this question? What would Jesus do? Well, I think so. In fact, I'm sure of it. But under one condition, and one condition only, that first and foremost, we know, we remember, and we believe what Jesus has already done for you and for me, poor sinners. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.